And they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought to him a blind man and begged him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he had spit on his eyes and laid his hands on him, he asked him, "Do you see anything?" And he looked up and said, "I see men, but they look like trees walking." Then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again, and he opened his eyes. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. And he sent him to his home, saying, "Do not even enter the village." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I did not see clearly at first, but as Jesus has continued to heal me, my spiritual vision, like the blind man's, has gone from seeing men as trees walking to seeing clearly. By the grace of God, I was born a Seventh-day Adventist in a Seventh-day Adventist hospital to third-generation Seventh-day Adventist parents. My parents are now consistent church members, educated in SDA colleges, and loyal to the truth. I was educated in SDA schools from second grade through college. I was baptized at age 11, following a grade school baptismal class into the SDA church. I loved being involved in Pathfinders, summer camp, and other church activities. I went in gathering and knew my memory verses and my Sabbath school lessons. I read the Bible stories and the bedtime stories. And when I graduated from eighth grade, I received the Conflict of the Ages series, which I very reverently read. I was loyal and accepted my uniqueness as an SDA is normal, and was quite matter-of-fact in defending my SDA differences to the curious. Somewhere in the midst of all that, I became a teenager who could be best characterized by anger, rebellion, sullenness, and disrespect. The principal and others in my grade school prayed over me in an attempt to exorcise my anger and my rebellious nature. It didn't work, and as a result, I was sent to boarding school. An SDA boarding school. Today, I would have probably been diagnosed with attention deficit disorder. But in our very small conservative school, I was diagnosed as being devil-possessed. I was a major headache to my teachers, who tried with restraint and most likely some deference to my parents to deal gently with me. But during my academy years, I was sensitive to spiritual things, and this sensitivity led me to write a paper in Bible doctrines class on justification by faith. My memory tells me that I received a failing grade from a very fundamental teacher. Although I remember trying very hard to prove my points from Ellen G. White writings and feeling that there was really something that I didn't quite understand, now I know the Holy Spirit was at work in me. Shame was a major controlling emotion in my life during this time. I couldn't measure up to the other kids. I couldn't sit still to study. I was constantly on the edge of failure and success, getting into college then, but not unable to really succeed. I became a student missionary, found out I loved to travel, and the next year I married a third-generation Adventist who became a seminary student. During the Glacier View years, the white lies, the shaking of Adventism, and ended with a Dallas statement of beliefs. He refused to sign that statement, and I agreed with him. I could very easily have ended any relationship with Adventism at that time. I questioned E.G. White and everything else, just on general principle out of rebellion, and found myself in the very strange position of being a cultural SDA for the sake of what? And that was the question that I couldn't answer. During our non-pastoring years, I finished my BS in nursing and had two children. An acquaintance spent some time explaining the concept of Sabbath rest to me, and it was intriguing. Again, I was nudged by the Holy Spirit to see. We ended up in the safety net of pastoring in another conference and then took three successive positions in the mission field. So for over 10 years, I was away from mainstream Adventism, raising my three children now in foreign countries and feeling very much alone. Finally, tired of the hypocrisy I was living in, I opted to leave my family in 2000. It is a heartbreaking and gut-wrenching story that ended in divorce and separation from my children. Fast forward to 2003, I was confronted with my sinful nature. I fell into a deep depression. By the grace of God and his power, he understood my need and he drew me to himself. God held me and kept drawing me until I yielded myself to Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Because the tapes of Adventism kept saying in my mind that one may not say they are saved, I needed to be freed from this fear of saying I was saved. And over the next couple of months, I struggled with the freedom to trust that I was forever saved by Jesus Christ. Well, there are consequences, and SDA officials caught up with me. I was called on the telephone and told to write a letter to have my name removed from the membership books. I couldn't even remember which church it had been left at. I did so, though I found it. And thinking back, I realized that I really didn't feel anything. I was continuing to attend church because I was living with my mother at the time, but felt no desire to rejoin the church. And I had by this time met a Christian man at work who kept talking to me about Christianity. Was I reading my Bible? Had I read Pilgrim's Progress? He gave me a book, The Secret of the Vine. I was an Adventist, and encouraged me to read it. After a year or so, the SDA pastor asked me if I wanted to be rebaptized. I said no, and told him I didn't really believe in the SDA concept of continually being rebaptized. Someone I knew had been baptized 8 times. I thought it was ridiculous. The picture of Jesus talking in John 8, where he says, "Neither do I condemn you, go, and from now on sin no more," kept floating through my mind. I was trying to convince Ernie, that's the Christian man that I had met at work, about the Sabbath and the state of the dead, but he was doing his homework and found out things that I had never heard about Adventism, and then he started using the cult word. Well, I had an answer for that. Kingdom of the Cults lets Adventism off the hook. Meanwhile, God, who is in the business of healing and never halfway, gave me love for Ernie that led to our marriage in 2006, restoration of relationships with my 3 sons, and release from Adventism that has been amazing in its intricacy. Ernie was attending the church we were married in. It was a non-SDA church, of course. I was attending periodically and always looking over my shoulder, waiting for lightning to strike. Then we started attending the Sunday evening small group, and I began to notice the teaching. It was just the Bible. There was no extra biblical source to confirm it. I began to really listen, found I could believe what I was hearing. I was now able to verbalize what had been real in me for some time, that I was and am saved. In November 2006, Life Assurance Ministries sent out a mass mailing to SDA church leaders, and the proclamation intended for my father ended up at my address, the same day we were leaving for a weekend visit to friends. During the 3-hour drive to their home, I read and reread every word of that journal. I was so intent and so amazed over what I was reading. Ernie says that I kept repeating things like, "I can't believe it. I was taught so many lies. SDAs teach a different gospel," and on and on. Many pillars fell that day, but the Sabbath and the soul sleep doctrines were deeply ingrained. I remember going online after that and printing out every single previous issue of Proclamation. I don't know how many reams of paper I used. But I was starved and devoured most of every issue before I was finally sated. And then I ordered the books, Cultic Doctrine, Sabbath in Christ, and all the others. And I would definitely and very heartfelt like to say thank you to everyone involved in this ministry for your obedience to the working of the Holy Spirit in your lives. One Sunday after I received the Proclamation magazine, we were asked to host the visiting minister and his wife for lunch at our home. Imagine my surprise when I told him that I had been raised an Adventist and he told me he had done his master's thesis on Adventism. I received a 1-hour scriptural exposition on the errors of Adventism. I had a sense of what the Ethiopian eunuch must have felt when Philip showed up. Well, it goes on. In April last year, I was fired from my job, and I came home to tell Ernie. He had been listening to some former Adventist Fellowship weekend audios, and needing some distraction, I just sat down to listen. Not really sure I could listen. But within about 5 minutes, Mark Martin caught my attention, and he said, "You know, if you're a former Adventist and you have become a believer, then you need to be baptized into Christ." I hadn't been baptized into Christ. And without my even being aware of the sanctification of the Holy Spirit in me, I realized that I could be obedient. God seems to get my attention in dramatic ways, But then, like in Mark 5:34, he calls me daughter. And I know that my shame is healed and I can go in peace. In July 2011, I was baptized into Christ, not into any specific church. What a concept. I am now attending the church where I was baptized, though. It is a Bible-believing and teaching church. Baptism solidified in my mind that Jesus has redeemed my life. I have put my trust in his finished work for my salvation. I have been at home for almost a year. I am able to spend more time with my mother now, and God is using this time to teach me to wait on him. I found a Bible study fellowship class, and I continue to search for and read recommended books, and I can truly say that I see men walking not as trees, but with the clarity that comes through knowledge that I am redeemed and saved for life in Christ.